Amen. You get extra credit if you brought it. Yes, absolutely. Extra credit. Extra credit. Huh? You guys are killing me. All right, James chapter 5, starting in verse 7 through verse 9. If you're there, why don't you just stand up with me tonight and we'll read these verses of Scripture, first out of the New King James and then out of the Message. If you can't stand, I get it. Don't worry about it. God still loves you. Amen. James chapter 5, therefore be patient. What in the world? Wow. What a wild bunch tonight. Anybody else need to turn their phone off before it rings? Just checking. Here we go. James chapter 5, verse 7. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. Also, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Listen to this from the Message. Meanwhile, friends, wait patiently for the master's arrival. You see, farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crops to mature, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. Be patient like that. Stay steady and strong. The master could arrive at any time. Friends, don't complain about each other. A far greater complaint could be lodged against you, you know. The judge is standing just around the corner. Father, we thank you for this word. Now I just ask you to somehow, Lord, anoint me and equip me to share your word, to instruct your word, to teach your people, God, this passage and, Lord, all that you have for us in this. Let us leave here tonight having taken with us something from your word. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Just want to thank you for watching tonight by way of the internet. I hope you have your online version of the fill in the blanks from last week, and we'll pick it up here. James was still addressing the suffering saints when he said, be patient. How many of you have ever heard that? Just be patient. Just be patient. Just, you know, it's coming. How many of you love that phrase? Just be patient. We don't really like that. But that's the word. This was his counsel at the beginning, if you remember, in James chapter 1, in the first five verses. And now it's his counsel as this letter comes to a close, although we won't have it closed probably for another couple weeks. Amen. Here's your first fill in the blank on your last week's handout. God is not going to right all the wrongs in this world until Jesus returns. Am I going too fast? God is not going to right all the wrongs in this world until Jesus Christ returns, and we believers must patiently endure and expect. You don't have that from last week? Remember last week when I told you to hang on to your flyer from last week? All right, we're on last week's flyer. We're finishing that up. last week. Flyer. From last week. All right. Are we there? Who said no? You have an excuse. You were not here. I'm not. Never mind. Are we? Is everybody on the right track now? All right. Huh? Patiently. So I'm being patient. I am working diligently at being patient. So three times James reminds us of the coming of the Lord. Three times. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 9. This is the blessed hope that we have as Christians, that one day all of this that we're going through, all the trials and the tribulations, the sickness, the health challenges, the economic problems that we have in the world today, all the what would appear to be the uprising of evil in our societies and in politics and just in our communities, it's all got to happen, but one day it's going to come to an end. Hallelujah. One day it's going to come to an end. One day the eastern sky is going to split and the church is going to be gone and they can have what's left. Amen. Amen. That's just the way it's going to be. We don't expect to have everything easy and comfortable in this present life. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, the Lord makes it very, very plain when He says in these no uncertain terms, in the world you shall have tribulation. It's going to happen. If you're a child of God, you're going to have tribulation. And the reason why you're going to have tribulation is because light and dark don't dwell together. It never has and it never will. Paul reminds his converts in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And here's your next fill in the blank. We must patiently endure hardships. Now, how fun does that sound? We must patiently endure hardships. We're going through some things, but you're not going through it just because there's nothing else to do. God's preparing you for something that you're going to walk through down the road. We must patiently endure hardships and heartache until Jesus returns. James uses two different words for patience in James 5, 7 through 8, and also in verse 10. It is the word that means long-tempered. Long-tempered. And then the words endure and patience, which is a couple of your fill-in-the-blanks, endure and patience in James chapter 5 and verse 11 literally means to remain under. To remain under. And it speaks of endurance under great stress. It means when you feel like giving up, don't. It means when you feel like quitting, don't. It means when you think you're at the end of the rope, you're not, so just hang on. Amen? Don't give up. You're killing me. Yeah. Reminds me of a story where a guy was rock climbing and he got down and he wasn't clear. He was rappelling off of this rock cliff, and when he got to the end of the rope, he wasn't where he could touch the ground yet, and he started yelling, "Somebody help me!" And a voice came from above and said, "Let go." And he said, "Somebody help me! Help me! I'm at the end of this rope." And the voice says again, "Let go." And he says, "Is there anybody else up there?" Because he was only about that far off the ground. Sometimes we don't want to take the advice that we're looking for. Here's another one. Patience means to stay put or to stand fast when you'd really like to run away. Patience means to stay put or stand fast when you'd really like to run away. A lot of Greek scholars think that long-suffering refers to patience with respect to persons, and while endurance refers to patience with respect to conditions or situations. But the question that you and I have to deal with here tonight is, how as Christians can we experience this kind of patience and endurance as we wait for the Lord's return? So James here gives us real life kinds of examples. Here's your fill in the blank. The farmer must wait patiently for his crops to grow. You cannot hurry the process. You cannot hurry the process. You can cultivate the land, you can fertilize the land, you can water the land, you can put seeds in the dirt and all of that kind of stuff, but you cannot make that seed produce any faster than God has planned for that to produce. It's not going to happen. You can't hurry the process. But he doesn't take the summer off, the farmer doesn't. He doesn't take the summer off and just hope that all goes well in the fields. That's the other extreme, and that doesn't happen either, because there's a lot of work to do to ensure a good harvest. And in the same way, we must patiently wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot make Him come back any sooner. You can't make Him come back any sooner. It's just not going to happen. And here's another one. But while we wait, you're lost. What are you looking for? Six lines up from the bottom, Glenda. Oh, you don't have last... Oh, you weren't here last week, were you? Yeah, see, that's why you're lost, because you don't have the right paperwork. Yeah, if you weren't here last week, you get a bye. Is that last week's, Gene? I think I'm lost. We good? Okay. So again, while we wait, there's much work to be done that we can do to advance God's kingdom. What do you think we ought to be doing as we wait in order to advance God's kingdom? What do you think we ought to be doing? What'd you say? Save souls. Disciple, what? Pray. What else? Worship. Do the work of the Lord. Amen? Both the farmer and the Christian have to live by faith. We must live by faith. We need to look toward the future, our future reward for the labors. Don't live as if Christ will never come. Don't do that. Here's another fill in the blank. Work faithfully to build His kingdom. And remember, it's His kingdom. Yeah. Yeah. People hear, well, the Lord's coming back. Yeah, well, I've been hearing that forever. Well, I got news for you. It's a lot closer now than it was the first time you heard it. Amen. It's true. Work faithfully to build His kingdom. The king will come when the time is right, facing persecution from the outside and problems from the inside. Many naturally find themselves grumbling and criticizing one another. We got to avoid that. We've got to stop that. We've got to not allow the enemy to put a wedge or allow a root of bitterness to begin to grow in the church. We got to stop that stuff instantly in the name of Jesus. You know how you stop it? You just stop it. If somebody comes to you and says, "I let me tell you about thus and so," you say, "Well, let's go talk to that person about that." 9 times out of 10, they don't want to do that, right? And that puts a real stop to, if you don't give ear to what somebody wants to talk to you about, somebody else about, it puts a stop to, it just naturally stops it. Amen. That's the only way that it can happen, and that's the only way that it'll happen. James doesn't want us to be filled with resentment. He doesn't want us to be filled with bitterness towards one another. All that will ever do is destroy the unity that we so desperately need in the church of America today. The reason why the apostles and the disciples in the upper room in the early stages of the book of Acts in chapter 2, the only reason that they had such a powerful move of God was because they were in one mind and one accord. Jesus said, "Go to the upper room, gather yourselves together there, and begin to pray." Now listen, there was well over 120 in that room. And they were all in one mind and in one accord. They were all striving for the same thing. They were all waiting for the same promise. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible makes it very clear that in a while I'm going to endue you with power. Right? They realized that. And the power was so real and so prevalent, and it changed them so dramatically. I mean, you go back in the Gospels and you study the life of Peter and you watch what Peter does all through the Gospels, and we know the story. He gets himself in trouble all the time. Peter's always getting in trouble. But after he gets filled with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, and he preaches, his life from then on is completely different. He is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is evident in the way he responds. They say, "You guys are drunk, man." They're like, "We're not drunk as you suppose. We've just been filled with the Holy Ghost." And Peter's first sermon, thousands come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Why? Because he was endued with power. Refuse to grumble about one another. And when you do so, you realize that it's part of what it means to be patient. And when things go wrong, how many of you know things go wrong every now and then? When things go wrong, we tend to grumble and we begin to blame others for our own misery. Don't do that. Here's some fill in the blanks. Blaming others is easier than owning our share of the responsibility. Blaming others is easier than owning our share of the responsibility, but it can be both destructive as well as sinful. So before you judge others for their shortcomings, remember that Christ the judge will come to evaluate each one of us. And remember, when you're pointing your finger at somebody else, you've got three fingers pointing right back at you. Amen? So remember that. He will not let us get away with shifting the blame to others. How many of you have the new handout? You ready? All right, here we go. James chapter 5, verse 10. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and you have seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Man, when you think about the life of Job, compassion and mercy doesn't come right to the top of the radar. Right? That guy went through some stuff. He went through some problems. He lost basically everything. His own wife said, "Well, just curse God and die." All right. He lost everything. But he never caved in. He never gave in to the enemy. See, Jewish Christians knew the stories of the prophets. Many had suffered greatly or were killed just for proclaiming God's message. You can look in 1 Kings and you read the story of Elijah. And in Jeremiah in chapter 38 and Amos in Amos chapter 7, they had all kinds of suffering because they were faithful to the preaching of the word and the declaration of the message of God. And here's your first fill in the blank. James is reminding his readers that even those who spoke in the name of the Lord had to have patience in suffering. You've got to have patience in suffering. Here's another one. Part of his point is that God does not preserve from suffering those he has called. Rather, he preserves you in suffering or through suffering. We have examples. There are examples to all believers because of their obedience and their faithfulness despite the hardships that they endured. We're still talking about three guys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We still talk about those guys. You know why? Because they stood up to the king and they said, listen, throw us in the fire. We don't care. Even if the Lord kills us, we're not going to bow to your image. We're not going to do it. And they stood faithfully before the Lord, and the Lord rescued them from the fire. What encouragements do we receive from their examples? Here's a fill in the blank. For one thing, they were in the will of God, yet they suffered. They suffered. They were in the will of God, yet they suffered. They were preaching in the name of the Lord, yet they were persecuted. They were persecuted. They were doing the right things and still went through hell for doing the right things. Satan tells the faithful Christian that his suffering is the result of sin or unfaithfulness, and yet his suffering might well be because of his faithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So here's another fill in the blank. We must never think that obedience automatically produces ease and pleasure. Just because we're doing the right things does not mean that everything's going to go daisies and roses. You can do the right thing. You can say the right things. You can go to church all the time. You can be in full-time ministry. You can do all those kinds of things. You can do all the things that you know are right and in our minds would stop us from being persecuted. And yet persecution still comes. Why? Because the enemy wants to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. He is not going to make your life and my life easy. He wants to stop it. He wants to cause problems. Don't think that obedience automatically produces ease and pleasure. Jesus was obedient and got nailed to the cross. Think about that. Jesus never sinned one time, and he got beat nearly clear to death and then nailed to a cross. They could find no fault with him, they said. And yet look what he went through. The prophets encourage us by reminding us that God cares for us when we go through suffering for his namesake. Elijah announced to wicked King Ahab that there would be a drought in the land for 3.5 years, and Elijah himself had to suffer through that drought. Just because the Lord uses you to speak a certain way to wickedness like Ahab was, doesn't mean that you get excluded from the problem. You go through that problem right along with everybody else. But he stayed faithful in the midst of the problem. But God cared for his man, his prophet, and God gave him the victory over the priests of Baal. Here's the fill in the blank. It has been said that the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. So why is it then that those who speak in the name of the Lord often have to endure difficult trials? Why is that? It is so that their lives will back up their message. It's so that their lives will back up the message. The impact of a faithful, godly life carries much power. Here's a fill in the blank. We need to remind ourselves that our patience in times of suffering is a testimony to those around us. Remind ourselves that our patience in times of suffering is a testimony to those around us. But have not many faithful Christians suffered and died without any notice or any recognition? Absolutely they have. Absolutely they have. But when the Lord Himself returns, those that we would label as obscure heroes will receive their reward. They'll receive their rewards. The prophets, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, the prophets were killed and buried, but today their names are honored. And when our Lord comes again, He will bring His reward with Him. He'll bring it. What looks like being forgetful, what looks like I did all this stuff and didn't get any recognition for it. Listen, if you're looking for recognition from man, the Bible says this. That's the recognition that you'll get. But if you get your recognition from the Lord, wow. It's amazing. So this example that James uses from the Old Testament prophets is one that should encourage us to spend more time in our Bible, to get more acquainted with the heroes of faith. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope." What is your hope? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So there's a lot of things that we can understand, but we don't understand everything. Right? Here's another fill in the blank, and I'm just about done. God's purpose is not that we just develop a mind full of explanations and answers. God's purpose is not that we just develop a mind full of explanations and answers. His purpose is to bring us to a place where we can trust Him. How many of you know it's pretty easy to trust Him when everything's going great? But when you're hanging off the rope and He says, "Let go," are you saying, "Is anybody else up there?" Or are you trusting the Lord and letting go to realize that you're only this far off the ground? It's easy to trust Him when everything is going great. God does not enjoy watching His people suffer. He does not enjoy that. He allows us to face pain because a greater good is going to be produced. There ain't a parent in this place today that gets any kind of pleasure out of watching their child go through some level of pain at a doctor's office or getting, you know, in some kind of a sporting event or whatever and getting hit or taken out and being hurt. We don't get any pleasure or anything out of there, but we know that even though that shot's going to hurt, there's going to be a good that's produced because of it. Amen? He allows us to face pain because a greater good's going to be produced. And here's your last fill in the blank. Kathy, you can come if you'd like. In the meantime, James encourages us, his readers, to number one, trust in God. To trust in God. To wait patiently. To persevere. And to remember God's tenderness and His mercy. James encourages his readers, and he is encouraging us to trust in God, to wait patiently, to persevere, and to remember God's tenderness and God's mercy. Lord, we just come before You tonight. And Lord, I don't know of one Christian that wouldn't welcome Your return. But Lord, tonight we wait patiently for You. There are still those tonight, God, that need Your healing touch. There are still those tonight that are lost without You, that have not claimed You and named You as their Lord and Savior. But tonight, oh God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would begin to minister to them. That Your Holy Spirit would begin to reach them and soften their heart and begin to make changes, Lord. Just like the farmer waits for the crop, so the Son of God waits for the sinner to reach out. So God, tonight we are faithful to lift them to You tonight and say, Lord, touch them. Let Your Holy Spirit go to the north and the south and the east and the west. Lord, that You would begin to draw Your people into this place. That, Lord, on Sunday morning, this house would be filled with people that not only know You as Lord and Savior and come to celebrate and worship You, but Lord, even those that don't know You, that will come into this place, hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and come to know You as Lord and Savior. Draw them by Your Spirit, Lord. Draw them, O God. Lord, I pray that You'd use Pastor Bill as he brings Your word, as he brings the message. God, anoint him from on high. Give him boldness, Lord, like he's never had before, to preach Your word, that lives will be changed for eternity because he said yes. Now, Lord, I pray for each one tonight watching by way of the internet all the way around the world tonight. God, that if they're out there and they're looking for You, I pray, God, that they would come to know You as Lord and Savior. I pray that they have learned from this Bible study tonight. I pray, God, what we've learned would stick with us, change us for Your good, for Your glory, and for Your honor. I pray all these things in the precious, powerful, mighty name of Jesus. All God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Thanks for joining us tonight by way of the internet. We're glad to have you with us. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you right back here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Good night and God bless you.